Thank God for Jesus. Our preaching material is found in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 29 through 32 as our preaching material for the next several weeks. I want to also read for you from the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verse 3 through 5, and then Matthew 6, verse 33. If that's too much looking, just get to Ephesians 4 and wait on us. We'll be there in a minute. Haggai, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, says, "Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai." You know that's how the Lord oftentimes sent his word, through the prophet. This is what he said. "Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin?" This house was a reference to the Lord's house, the temple. He says, "Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Listen. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill." Listen to this. "You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it." Now, Matthew 6:33 is a brighter passage of scripture for those who are willing to repent. It says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." This is the backdrop for my preaching material. It starts in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." How many of you know everybody don't listen? Verse 30 says, "And do not grieve the Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Then verse 31 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice." Now that's a whole lot all by itself. But verse 32 says, "Be kind and compassionate, not to starving children in Africa, but to one another." And then forgiving each other. How many of you know you don't have to forgive people who haven't wronged you? You only forgive people who've wronged you. And if you think it's too hard to do, remember this. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. That's almost unfair. As you take your seats, I want to start talking about principles for better days. Principles for better days. I wonder, is it anybody here who would like to see SBC have better days? Perhaps what that means to you is more people in the pew. For others, it means more love and more unity. For me, it means more disciples, not people who just come to church, but people whose lives are transformed. Perhaps when you think of better days, you think of our church being known for more ministry. Wouldn't it be marvelous for our church to have better days? Then there are others excited about you having better days in your personal life. For some, that means more peace and more joy. Anybody want some more of that? Other people want more health and more strength. You're tired of being tired. You're tired of aches and pains. For others, they want more finances and more wealth. Others want greater relationships. You're tired of all of the family and friend drama. And then there's others who are on another level. Your mind, your money, your relationships, your health are okay, but you're getting a little older and you want to make sure that when you die, they got something to write about in the obituary. Other than you was born and then you died and you left somebody to survive your memory. And so these are the times when you're trying to leave a contribution on record. Better personal days. Listen, your house and God's house are tied together. You cannot expect God's house to be in ruins, as in Haggai chapter 1, but your house is going to be all together. Somebody ought to say amen. But I thank God. God does not just tell us the bad stuff and the do nots, but he also tells us the do's and the positive. The Lord says that no matter how bad you've messed up in the past, if you would make up in your mind now to seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, then all these other things that you're concerned with, the Lord will provide them as well. Now, if you're serious about better days for the church and for your personal life, then Ephesians chapter 4 gives us some principles to get to better days. I only have time to talk about two of them on today. The first is we should avoid unwholesome talking. And the second is we should practice helpful talking. That's the thesis right there. We should avoid unwholesome talking and practice helpful talking. So let's get this first one real good now. So nobody be able to say, I didn't know, I didn't understand. I'm going to make this so simple the babies can understand this. And then we'll have to explain to the Lord why we didn't live by it. But it won't be because we did not understand. The first point is avoid unwholesome talking. Now this word in the NIV, unwholesome, comes from Greek that means rotten or unclean. The King James Version translates the exact same word as corrupt communication. What I find interesting is Paul is not talking to a bunch of heathens out on the street. He's talking to the church in Ephesus. He's telling saved people, stop having all of this rotten, unclean, corrupt, and unwholesome conversation coming out of your mouth. Now, I have two quick things I want to say here. The first one is we must work on controlling our tongues. I wonder, can I get y'all to repeat after me? We must work on controlling our tongues. Point to it, our tongues. That right there, right there. Work on that. James chapter 3, verses 5 through 10 reads as follows. If this sounds foreign to you, you might want to start at verse 1. But for the sake of time and attention, verse 5 through 10 says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Listen. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Listen, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Somebody say amen. I know that some of us started off with goals and perhaps New Year resolutions. Some wanted to have more regular time with God. Others wanted to work on their time management. Others wanted to work on focusing on their priorities. All of these are good, but I'm urging you to add to the list controlling your tongue. It's good to be a wise steward of your mind and your body, your finances, your relationships, your service. All of that is great. But make sure you add to the list controlling your tongue. I would like to hope somebody's interested in evangelism and edification, the love and worship that's found in our church, community involvement and excellence. All of these things are outstanding, but if we don't control our tongues, we will burn up the whole forest of good works. How many of y'all know you got to get your tongue together? Now, there may be those who really don't understand this matter of unwholesome talking, so let me put it in your lap. Gossiping is unwholesome. Lying is unwholesome. Slander is unwholesome. Grumbling, murmuring, complaining are unwholesome. Being mean, harsh, disrespectful is unwholesome. And you may think, well, Reverend, I never do any sort of thing like this. Are you sure? Let me give you some cues and clues that you might be speaking unwholesomely. Whenever you got to look around to see who's around before you start talking, chances are what's coming out of your mouth is unwholesome. Whenever you start whispering, and it's always amazing to me when I talk to people who are about 15 or 20 years my senior in a restaurant, whenever they say black people, they always whisper. Whenever you whisper, it may suggest that you at least think that what's coming out of your mouth is unwholesome, whether it is or not. Here is a telltale clue. Whenever a person starts the conversation with, "Don't tell anybody," you can rest in knowing that whatever comes after this is bound to be unwholesome. I'm laughing to keep us from crying. That this matter of unwholesomeness is wrong, period. But it's extra wrong among people who claim to be saved. What interests me, what catches my preaching attention, what makes this a no-brainer connection to SBC is that Paul is not preaching to unchurched people. Paul is preaching to people who claim to be saved. And he has to tell saved people, control your tongue. Your tongue ought not be the source of unwholesome talking. Now, it's easy to see this point when you're talking to somebody who's doing the very best that they know how to do. And the truth was told, this point is not only applicable for pastor and church, but it's also applicable for many of our marriages. It's applicable for many of our parent and children relationships. So many of our friendships could be further along the road if we, with our saved selves, did a better job of controlling our tongues. Romans 15:1 talks about how the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. There are people in our lives who have not had the home training, who have not had the discipleship training that some of us have had. They're doing the best they can. They surely don't mean you any harm. There are times when our feelings are hurt, not because of the intent of the speaker, but because of the sensitivity of the listener. I said that so fast, I think that just went right over some of y'all heads, so let me just back that right back up. I said, sometimes the reason our feelings got hurt, it was not the intent of the speaker. It was the sensitivity of the hearer. That there are some who are just too hyper sensitive, at least when you come to church. Isn't it interesting how much stupid stuff we can put up with on our job because we need that check? I mean, ain't nobody trying to fly out of America because Trump is the president. Most of us don't like him, but we ain't going nowhere. We got too much of us invested in our country. But when we come to church, we become hypersensitive. But then it makes sense. Easy, amen. You ought not be unwholesome and harsh with those who are doing the best they can. But listen to this. This is a higher level, amen. We ought not be harsh. We ought not be unwholesome, even to those who are trying to do us dirty. People who are being mean to us. And do you know there are some folk in church that can just be downright mean? And if you're not careful, you will be tempted to use unwholesome conversation. I heard one of the eulogistic comments from yesterday. The lady was said to have, she was said to be bilingual. She was able to speak in two languages. She knew how to speak English, and she also knew how to speak profanity. And how many of y'all know there are some folk that can take you there? I don't care how saved you are. There are some folk that can be so stupid with you that before you know it, you pull up that second language. But listen now to what the preacher is saying. The preacher is telling you that whenever an intelligent person tries to act as foolish as a fool, people can't tell who is who. You cannot control the foolishness of the person you're trying to talk to, but you can control your response. Of the handful of things that I may have gathered from the military, it was one, my ability to control response. Those who've been through basic training know that the whole thing is designed to push you. It is, most of us did not go to basic training, used to somebody we don't know from Sambo standing in our face, hollering, screaming, calling us everything except a child of God, especially when it's 100 degrees outside. But we learned that no matter what this person is saying right here in my face, I have the ability to control myself. Now, if 18 and 19 year olds from all around our country have that kind of restraint, then you tell me, you with your saved Holy Ghost filled self, what keeps you from restraining yourself? Strength is perhaps seen more in restraint than in your emotional outbursts because somebody has annoyed you. I wish y'all could see how y'all looking at me. Y'all better be glad I'm not sensitive. Y'all be hurting my feelings right now. I'm moving to the second part of this matter of avoiding unwholesome talking. Second part now is our hearts and pace will help us with our tongues. Would y'all repeat after me? Our hearts and pace will help us with our tongues. This heart stuff, Matthew 15, 18a, Matthew chapter 15, verse 18a says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. When you read the Bible, heart and mind are oftentimes undistinguishable. It's faulty exegesis to think that heart is just emotion and mind is just intellect. Heart and mind are oftentimes indistinguishable in the Bible. The point I'm raising now is when you keep your heart and your mind filled with negativity, you will not be shocked when negativity comes flowing out your mouth. But by the same token, if you occupy your space with positivity, then it's so much easier to grab something positive to say. That's our heart. You ought not be shocked when you hang around negative people, read negative stuff, listen to negative stuff. You ought not be shocked that negative stuff is found in your mouth. If you want to get your tongue right, you might want to start with your heart and your mind. But then your pace is important. Your cadence, the speed at which you respond. Listen to James 1:19. James 1:19. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, but slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Let's go back over it again. If you really want to see better days, we got to avoid unwholesome talking. And one of the things that's going to help us keep our tongue under control is not only what we allow into our hearts and mind, but the pace at which we respond. The devil always loves for us to say the first thing that comes to our mind. Devil don't want you to pray about anything. He don't want you to think about anything. He wants you to just respond, because he knows that once it's said, and once the damage is done, it's done. But if you want better days, you ought to join me in praying that we resist the demonic pressure to respond immediately. Can you be honest enough? I know we can't testify right now, but can you be honest enough to look back over your life and see there's been some times that if you would have just slowed down, prayed a little bit more, thought a little bit longer, you would have said something a whole lot better than what you said. I know y'all holier than I am, so y'all always say the right thing at a split second. But when I look back over my life, oh, how I wish I could catch some of those words that came out of my mouth. The devil always tries to speed us up when the Lord says, slow down. And then he tries to slow us down when the Lord says, speed up. Check your pace. If you're having problems with your tongue, you might want to ask yourself, are you giving yourself enough time to respond? When I was a child, we didn't have no internet that I knew anything about. If we had it, I didn't know anything about it. What we had was some encyclopedias, and we had some library cards. You had to go to the library and check books out of the library. It wasn't no e-book. It was paper book. You had to go pick up the book, and then you had to take the book back, or else they was going to fine you for not bringing the book back on time. And then in time, we got this thing called the internet. And internet didn't start off with DSL and all this high-speed stuff. We used to have what was called dial-up internet. Dial-up internet was faster than going to the library. And when it first started, we was happy because it was faster than going to the library. But then they introduced DSL, and this was faster internet. And once you got a taste a fast internet on your job somewhere, it seemed as if dial-up was just as slow as molasses. Then some of us got the DSL. This was the faster internet. And then they always speeding it up for a few extra dollars a month. And it seemed as if every time it get a little faster, what used to be fast is slow. And if you're not careful, this world of ours will get you addicted to an instant response. I said an instant response. How many of y'all know there are some things in this life you cannot instantly respond to? The book said be quick to listen. And how many of y'all know it's hard to listen while you're talking? So to be quick to listen also means quick to be quiet. Because you can't listen and talk at the same time. Be quick to listen. The underside of that condition, the underside of that statement is close your mouth so you can hear. Be quick to listen, but listen, be slow to respond. Because once you speak, you have spoke. You can shoot a person and say, oops, my bad. But they still shot. You can apologize all day long. They still got a bullet hole in them from where you shot too quickly. If you're interested in better days, you got to put on your list of things to work on is your tongue. And for some, that means checking our pace. We talk too quickly behind what we have heard. And I appreciate that we've been socialized to be quick. You get pats on the back for how quick you are, but sometimes you can't be quick. Sometimes you got to be slow. And then the sermon goes on to say, not only should we avoid unwholesome talking, but we ought to practice, not just a one-time thing, practice, ongoing, practice helpful talking. The text reads as follows. In that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, comma, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, let me say these four things before we get out of here. The first one is the Bible is full of helpful things to talk about. I wonder what y'all repeat after me. The Bible is full of helpful things to talk about. Listen, what your friends are talking to you about in the parking lot is not always helpful to talk about. The stuff you're reading on internet, Facebook, Twitter, that's not always helpful to be talking about. So then let me give you a curriculum. Let me give you some source material for helpful talking. I recommend the Bible. Now, I can't read the whole Bible to you, but I got a few scriptures I think you ought to commit to your spirit. Here they are. The first one is 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. If you want your mind full of good stuff, it's going to be hard to go wrong if you just keep pumping some word into your heart and on to your mind. Get yourself into the word. When you read the word, you're going to come across Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke 9, 23. It says, then he, Jesus, said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. This is something good to talk about, because oftentimes what we argue and what we fuss about in our churches is not what the Lord wants. What we're arguing about is what I want. And how many of y'all know if you're going to be a disciple, it's never about what I want, what you want. It's always what does the Lord want. The Bible says, deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow him. The best way to know you're following him is to study God's word. As you study the Bible, you're going to run across this Matthew 6:33 stuff. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. There are some people who treat Christianity as if you do it God's way, then somehow you come up short. But if you study the Bible never leaves us short. The Lord will supply all of your needs if you get the sequence right. See, the devil has this sequence in mind. Get your stuff first and then give God what he's talking about. But God has a different sequence. God say, put me first and trust me to give you whatever you stand in need of. Well, this is good, but let's get a little bit more practical. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I think this is in the Bible for me. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you try to live right, I promise you, you're going to run into some stumbling days. And when you stumble, the devil always wants you to stay down. But you remember, the Bible says that if we would just confess our sin, we don't have to camouflage our sin. We don't have to blame anybody. If we would just come down the middle of the road with God, he said, listen, I'm faithful. I'm just. I will forgive your sins. I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The reason this is good news is because you got some folks sitting around you, depending upon what you do, they will never forgive you. But if God forgives you, you ought to be able to sleep well at night knowing that the most important person has forgiven you. And then finally, lest I put us to sleep with all this Bible stuff, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What is the pastor talking about? He's talking about how the Bible is full of good things to talk about. Here's a great passage to find yourself talking about. Because if you live on the third planet from the sun, there's some stuff that goes on here that makes absolutely no sense. But thanks be unto God, even the stuff that don't make any sense falls into the category of all things. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose. The Bible is full of good stuff to talk about. Now, when we are talking, we need the needs of the listener should be considered. That's the second part here now. The needs of the listener should be considered. Think about Jesus. When he talked to farmers about the kingdom of God, he oftentimes talked in terms that farmers could understand. When he was talking to fishermen, he talked about the kingdom in a language that fishermen would understand. When you and I are trying to talk to people, we need to make sure we're talking in language that the person we're talking to can understand. And then notice the curriculum is not what the listener wants, but what the listener needs. Did y'all see that in the text? When we're talking to help people with their needs. And what we all need is to be better Christians. Now, I raise this because what I want and what I need can oftentimes be as opposite as north and south. Am I the only one who's prayed and asked God to give me comfort? And the Lord said, no, you need challenge. Am I the only one who's prayed and asked the Lord to give me victory? And the Lord says, no, what you need is endurance. Am I the only one who's prayed and said, Lord, this world is so sinful? And the Lord said, you need to understand that the church is too sinful. That whenever you think sinners are too sinful, you ought to look at these folk who call themselves saints. You do know that to whom much is given, much is required. It's bad for sinners to lie, to embezzle, to steal, to commit adultery, to be strung out on drugs. That's bad for sinners to do. But it's even worse for we who claim to be saved. We're supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Then thirdly, it takes some discipleship to practice helpful talking. I said it takes discipleship to practice helpful talking. It takes discipleship because there are times we don't feel like all this helpful talking. Sometimes we're sad ourselves. Sometimes we are tired ourselves. Sometimes our health is not where it ought to be. It's hard to be happy when your money is all jacked up. It's hard to talk up when your relationships are all down. But God still calls us to helpful talk through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Discipleship is needed because there are times when the person you're talking to seem as if they don't appreciate nor deserve the positive word that you're trying to sow. Isn't it hard to talk positive to somebody that's talking negative to you? Isn't it hard to talk somebody up who are addicted to being down? I know people, they are addicted to being down. You try to help them count their blessings, but they're more comfortable counting the problems in their life. You're trying to get them to see that the sun is shining, and they want to keep talking about how cold it is in winter. You're trying to get them to see that at least you got some food to eat, but the only thing they can talk about is, I can't go to Papa Do's like I want to. Baby, you can't even spell Papa Do's. Talking about you can't go to Papa Do's. You ought to be thankful that you got you some breakfast, some lunch, some dinner, some snack. Do you know how many folk went to bed hungry last night, woke up hungry this morning, and you got your lip poked out because you can't go to Papa Do's? It can be a challenge. It takes discipleship. But I report that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. That when it seems as if you don't have enough strength to speak helpfully, I remind you that we have some strength outside of ourselves in Christ Jesus. I close now with a visualization exercise. Imagine, if you will, a church of helpful talking. I want you to just picture coming to church Sunday after Sunday, and you find smiling greeters that remind you that God is able to turn your midnights into noons. Sunday after Sunday, friendly ushers that remind you that God still has a word for you. Prayer leaders that's praying for God to make your rough places smooth, to give you peace and joy on your journey. Imagine hearing preaching Sunday after Sunday that reminds you that no matter how bad things look for you now, God still has a marvelous plan for your life. Imagine sitting next to somebody Sunday after Sunday who worship God as if they are in love with God, and as if God is in love with them. If you and I want to have some better days in SBC and in our personal lives, then you really need to lock in on avoiding unwholesome talking. Mama and them taught us that if you can't say anything good, then sometimes the best thing is to just say nothing at all. But it's not enough to have better days to stop talking unwholesomely. We have to also practice helpful talking. I know some of y'all think y'all got this point, but let me make sure you got it. You can get an A in avoiding unwholesome talking and still get an F in helpful talking. You think you're doing good because you don't talk about anybody. But I'm telling you, you're flunking the second part of the sermon, because being a Christian is more than thou shall not. Being a Christian also includes thou shall. You ought to look back over the last 7 days of your life and see how many times can you count that you have spoke helpfully to somebody. Yeah, you know, there are still some folk that come to church and have to learn how to say good morning. And there are others that have to learn how to say, it's good to see you. Now, it's upper division work here now to say, is it anything I can pray about for your behalf? I'm trying to get you to think about, do you ever have a positive word to sow in somebody else's life? Many of us are here because we had somebody always putting a good word in us. It may have been an auntie. It may have been an uncle. I would hope it was a preacher, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher along the way. Well, it's our turn now to make sure that we sow a good seed in all of those we meet along life's journey. If you can't sow a good seed anywhere else, we ought to be able to sow seed among one another. It ought not be a big chore for you to smile and say good morning. It ought not be hard to tell people it's so good to see you. It ought not be hard to lift one another in prayer. You never know what that smiling person sitting right next to you are hiding behind their smile. I gotta come in here now and serve communion. But the reason I'm repeating is because the devil is deleting everything I'm trying to sow into your spirit. You see, the preacher is saying, avoid unwholesome conversation. But the devil is saying, practice unwholesome talking. The devil is saying, you are grown now, and you can say whatever you feel like saying. Think about how godless that statement is. You can say whatever you want to say. When you get saved, there's another person in the sentence. I said, there's another person in the sentence. You ought not say what you want to say. You ought to say what the Lord wants you to say. Can I get a witness here? I'm repeating because the devil is deleting. The preacher is saying, practice helpful talking. But the devil is saying, I'm not sowing a good seed in them because they've not sown a good seed in me. If you ever want to see something that's absolutely ridiculous, look at grown folk that say, I'm not going to say good morning to them until they say good morning to me. You know, the first time I heard it, I thought they was just playing with me, but I discovered they were serious. You know, everybody that got advanced years have not grown up. But listen, let me tell you, if you've really been saved, if you've really been redeemed, if you're really covered by the blood, you ought to be the first one to sow a good word. You ought to be the first one to say good morning. Because you're saved, you ought to be the first one to show your teeth and tell folk you're happy to see them. You ought to be the first one to say, I'm sorry if I've caused offense. You ought to be the first one to say, I forgive you. Let's start all over again. We're getting too old and times are too crazy for us to hold back on the good that we can do. If you and I are gonna see better days, we gotta practice helpful talking. Well, I got to close now. If all I had was mean and the text, I would throw in the towel, because it's too hard for me to control my tongue. It's too hard for me to be good to people who've been hateful to me. But I came to declare that I got some help. And if you claim him, you can have some help. His name is Jesus. I want to spend about the last minute of your attention talking about how Jesus can give you power to do what you can't take any credit for. If we told the truth, it's so hard to be helpful with some people, and it's so easy to speak unclean. But I thank God, if we call on the Lord in the name of Jesus, Jesus can help you control that little piece of meat that's in your mouth. Jesus can help you look past silly faces. Jesus can help you be kind to people who are acting a fool. He can help you pray for people that you know are dogging you every chance they get. Jesus can put a smile on your face when you really want to fight. Jesus can help your home people up who are trying to tear you down. Now let me tell the truth. The reason why I can be, and you ought to be, so generous with your grace is because every time you give your enemy something to drink, every time you give them something to eat, the same Bible says you heap coals of fire on their head. Don't you dare give the devil the satisfaction of stealing your smile, stealing your joy. And my God, don't let anybody steal your praise. There's power in praise. And what I love about the power of praise is I don't have to have the mic in order to praise him. I don't have to lead the song in order to praise him. I don't have to wait till Sunday in order to praise him. Some of my best praise has been on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. Anybody know you can get some praise going on early Saturday morning? Isn't God all right? I got to come in, but I'm so glad that there are better days ahead. I thank God that where I'm going is not where I am. The best is yet to come. My situation is not my destination. I'm just passing through. Yes, sir. Just passing through a season here. Please keep on praying. Please keep on praising. Soon and very soon we'll look back and say nobody but the Lord brought us through. And what I love about my God is he is an omnipresent God. He's everywhere at the same time. You don't have to give up on God because things look bad in one part of your life. If you hold on just a little while longer, he's able to turn it around. I said turn it around. Somebody needs to hear it. They don't believe me. Would you tell your neighbor, God can turn it around. Now just do your hand like this. He can turn it around. Come on, don't be hateful. He can turn it around. He can turn it around. That child of yours, he can turn it around. That marriage of yours, he can turn it around. That sickness in your body, he can turn it around. That depression in your spirit, he can give you back your joy. He can give you back your peace. Isn't God all right? Help me say yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I love him. I said I love him. I never could have made it had I not understood the power of the very name of Jesus. We ought not fool ourselves. Everybody in here going through something. If you're not going through something now, you just got over something, or you're on your way to something. But the best way to get to better days is to get control of that little piece of flesh in our mouth. You'll never be a super Christian until you get control of your tongue. And it's a two-edged sword. You gotta stop unwholesome talking, and you gotta practice helpful talking. You gotta practice opening your mouth saying something good. When was the last time you tried to help somebody with the words that came out of your mouth? If you are a Christian looking for better days, you need to ask the Lord to give you the strength to not only avoid the unhelpful and unwholesome and the rotten, corrupt, unclean conversation, but you need to ask the same Lord to give you strength to be light in the midst of darkness, salt in the midst of decay. To whom much is given, much is required. You can't cuss and fuss like everybody else. You can't complain like everybody else. You've been redeemed. The Lord has planted a seed of hope that ought to be stronger than what you see. Sometimes you can't see your way. How many of y'all, sometimes you gotta believe your way. I can't see it, but I believe it's on the way. It's the benefit of being saved. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today is a good day. This place is a good place for you to come and say yes to the Lord. If you know you need the Lord in your life,